There we go. It's all happening. Hopefully, this is streaming. Is this streaming now on Facebook, Sam? Yeah, fantastic. Brilliant. Oh, ooh. I've been out for a lovely walk this morning. Went for a swim down at our local beach, which is, I mean, it's not really a beach. It's called Vian, but it's very nice to swim. And there's like a little bridge you go down and then get down into the water. And there was no jellyfish there today, which is fantastic because, like, I'm all for sharing the fjord for other creatures of nature. Don't love jellyfish touching me. There was none today. That was a blessing. How is the weather where you are, Nikki, in the UK?
It's gorgeous and warm and sunny.
Right.
Absolutely
Wow.
gorgeous here.
There we go. Is it all right? Sorry, we're better, but half an
So
hour to go.
you've got a fantastic solstice day then.
Certainly do. It's absolutely gorgeous. So yeah,
Oh, where should we
incredible day.
start? Where should we start?
Wow. God, I mean, just what made you write the book? What was the inspiration?
That's really good, and it's not the most exciting answer. So I've been working for Sarah for years and years and years, and I wrote one book called Sarah's Little Book of Healing, which is lovely, and it is quite small. It's not too thick, and it takes you through a beautiful process of working with Sarah and working with her energies. So I published that I don't know, 10 some years ago, and then there was all this other stuff, right? And I was always really struggling to find all these channelings. I had all these channelings, all these interviews, and whenever I wanted to get my hands on the right bit to share with somebody, I could never find it. So it was partly a way of me organizing myself, because now I can just get the book and I look down the titles, and then I put in a keyword into the book that's on my computer, and it just finds the right segment for me straight away. So it's really helped me be organized. But of course, it was really because I wanted to share it with everybody. Because people would say, well, who's Sarah and what does she do? And I would go, wow. Because it's such a big question, and there's so much to talk about. I was like, well, I could put it in a book, and then if someone's really interested, they can go away and read it, basically.
Yeah, it's been the most extraordinary experience reading it because it's almost interactive. And it aligns everything that I've ever read about anything and literally brings it all in. And it's like a living, breathing oracle. I just use it like, I mean, I just use it like kind of as an oracle, as something to refer to, as something to support, as like if I have a question. Obviously devouring it, going through and like studying it. It's really an extraordinary resource. And I'm so pleased you have, because it's so, I mean, healing sounds sort of quite limited in a way. I know not for Sarah, but everything she's about, very difficult to use words really, but is so multi-dimensional and so progressive at the same time. For me, she's just so current, and feels so present and really excited about helping us move forward. And
Yeah.
the other ascended masters feel they've always been there, and they're very, very much supportive as well. But she's really action, and she's really there to support. If you do something that's part of the new steps forward, she's like right there, like, come on, let's do it. She's like really excited about that, which is
Yeah,
really
yeah.
energy when I'm doing something that she's really behind. Do you
Yeah,
feel that?
yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's it, Sarah, she is, I was just saying this yesterday to the Blue Rose group that I'm teaching, she's the next generation. And it's not to say, it's not to knock any of the other ascended masters or light beings that are working with us, but she is just holding the blueprint for the new earth and for the new humanity. And that's it. She's just so current, and her energy is just phenomenal. But that's it. I mean, that's one of the things I wrote about in the book, was like the daughter archetype. And I came across my husband, Thomas. He trained as a Jungian psychoanalyst, and one of his teachers, she has like created the concept of the daughter archetype. I met her the other day. She's Danish. And, you know, we're seeing all these young women now in films and in the media, like in The Hunger Games and on The Whale Rider, and they know what they're doing, and they're not out of touch with their feelings. They've got all of their feelings, but they're acting and they're not having it, you know. It's like, and they're a force for good, you know.
That there's two things that you've covered there which really, really hit home for me is, you know, I've got a 23-year-old daughter and obviously love Disney and everything, but the way Disney, for example, is evolving right now, their heroines, is so in alignment with all of this work and so important. You know, I'm around a lot of young girls and young women and teenagers, and they really, really need this role model, and they need it very accessible. And, you know, all of the new movies coming out, not just Disney, but across the board, are very much demonstrating such personality, such feistiness. And the girls are like that. You know, they really, really are right now. I think we always had it in us when we were younger, but they're very upfront with it all now. They're really the game changers. And so, yeah, she's so behind. You can just feel her energy, like right behind it. It's going to be more and more of that, I think.
Yeah.
Coming through.
Yeah,
and not to downplay the guys, but I think this is a new age. This is part of the new age. This energy, this maiden energy.
Yeah, but that's the whole point, isn't it? It's because they're owning their masculine energy. Yeah. That's why they're sort of so like the maiden. She's whole and complete in herself, and it's all they're happening for them.
Yeah, 100%. And also, you know, you look at the Star Wars, I've forgotten her name, and something.
Yeah, she's, but I know who you mean. Yeah,
she's really incredible, and she's perfect, for taking the series on. And so, yeah, it's all happening all around. If you actually look, I think the other thing is from reading the book, when you say not to offend any, you know, well, first there's no ego with other ascended masters anyway. But the thing that I really, really felt was that in this book, you got over so well how this is nothing to do with hierarchy. This is absolutely the opposite, and this is where she's at. She's so just herself. There's no issue about any of that, and that is again this huge aspect for the new earth. Is like there's, you know, I'm massively keen on circles, and there's no hierarchy, and you know, community and collaboration and cooperation, and she's just everything that fits and sits right for me as well. And that in the book, it needs to be, and it just comes through in every sort of aspect of her presence, you know, whether it's healing, whether it's, you know, connection, whether it's, you know, connecting the past to the future. You know, all of it is nothing to do with any kind of hierarchy, which I think you can get caught up in that sort of stuff with the other ascended masters, just because of the way religion and the way culture and the way we've just been taught it.
Well, it's the way we write about it, isn't it? You know, as a culture, we write about things in hierarchical ways. But when you work with the like divine feminine circle, there is no hierarchy in a circle. And although Sarah's at the center of that circle, she can move around anywhere. She's got free flowing movement. She can be anywhere where it's needed. But I think I sort of managed to get this across in the book, but she's an archetypal energy. She is a face for a divine archetype. So this is an energy that belongs to God, mother, father, God, God, goddess, the divine, whatever word you want to, just as Mary Magdalene is a face for the divine feminine, and Yeshua is a face for the divine masculine. And there's, you know, you can sort of look around and find lots of different ways of understanding this energy. But Sarah's archetypal force, it's coming up through all of us. It's coming up through the earth. It's like, it is like you say, everywhere. And I suppose one of the things I've noticed, and I think even especially since the book has come out, is how much people's attitudes are shifting towards Sarah. When I first started working with her, no one was interested. And, you know, that was, what, 2006, I guess. And, you know, I used to get hate mail and, you know, people would... I had some really vile people, you know, sending me emails saying I was the Antichrist and so was Sarah. And that was the sort of response I used to get when I worked, because I posted like videos on YouTube, which you can, they're still there and still really popular. But now the response is just like, oh, there's not this awkwardness. Like, people are just getting her more and more. And that was really my big thing, was like to be a person that could just go, look, she's here. And other people go, oh God, she is, isn't she? Oh my God. And then they find out their way to work with Sarah and their way to express. Because like all the things I say, yeah, I'm channeling and all the rest of it. But, you know, I'm a person. They're all coming through me as a person. So you will find all the things I'm interested in reflected there, because those are the things she's going to teach me about. Whereas somebody else who's got a different, like, way of working than me, their way of working with Sarah will be completely unique to them. And that's part of this beautiful work, is like, just and that's passing that different torch on.
Yeah, that's where this is very different, you know, or she's very different in her style. And it's that I love the way you use unity, united and unifying and oneness and that kind of thing, because she's very, that's what, and it feels very spiral. You know, she calls everyone. We're all here. You know, all these people that are here are all, it makes me emotional. We're all called in this spiral, but it's so welcoming and yet totally as you are, you know, and no judgment or anything. It's just as you're growing, and that's why I think you're so, personally it feels like you're so drawn to the rose. I'm so drawn to that because it's all spirals, and how we're all growing and evolving and changing, and it's along with us, and it's perfectly arranged, it's perfect timing. I just can't get over how the book has literally answered questions as I'm reading things. And it's been like an interactive, dynamic experience. And that's really blown me away. It's like she's meeting me like just ahead of the road, like all the time. I mean, it's literally been magical. And like just a magical sort of labyrinth to go along reading the book. And I love the strands and the colours. And you see how all the other goddess energies that you've ever read about all align with her, and she just loves all of them and she works with all of them, and there's no, you know, everyone's welcome. And that just feels so precious and so important for the way we move forward in the world. It's a whole thing to learn to how to be, you know. She's showing you as you're reading the book. It's just absolutely extraordinary experience.
Thank you, Nikki. Sam, have you got anybody over on Facebook saying anything?
No questions yet. Nikki Mariana Hope says, hello, solstice blessings and first book anniversary. But there are sort of 5-6 people watching. I think we're just listening to you two. It's absolutely fascinating.
So just so people know, you can ask questions if you've got any questions that come up while you're listening to me and Nikki rattle on, if there's something you've always wondered but never got to ask. I'm not saying I will know the answer, but I will do my best. And if anybody here live on Zoom wants to ask anything, you can just unmute yourself and ask a question. Is there anybody here who wants to ask something? Well, if you do, just drop it into the chat. And then I'll give you some space. So where should we go now?
I just have a sort of thought in my mind is, we have all these different strands and all these different colours. I just, as you as you were writing the book, how was that experience for you? I mean, did it like kind of unravel like these and weave like these strands of feeling? I mean, did it work you like I've described, or was it like a different experience for you writing it?
So I was, you know, faced with this enormous task of quite a lot of work that's been channeled.
You obviously had a lot of channelings already, because you can tell that you've
I mean, a lot
of material.
Yeah, I mean, that is the work of like, how many years is it since 2006? 17 years work in that book. Yeah. And I was like, wow, really overwhelmed. What do I do with all of this? So, you know, I tuned in to Sarah, and, you know, I go on walks quite a lot. And that is a really helpful way for me to work with her, because it takes the pressure off me. You know, when you ask, like, if anybody's ever tried automatic writing or channeling or anything like that, you ask a question and then there's this pressure to receive something. And in itself, that can be quite anxiety provoking. And, you know, when I'm channeling for groups or for other people, it's a lot easier, because I have a job, I've just got to get on with it. Whereas when it's me on my own, I find I'm a person who gets stressed really easily. I'm a very sensitive person, and I have to work a lot on like calming myself down. So I go for a walk, and then while I'm walking along and I'm looking at the trees, or I'm noticing that ant down there, things just pop into my head, things just slip down into my head. And it just sort of like gets woven together. Like by the time I finish my walk, I'll have this complete thing, and it was completely effortless. It's almost like I trick myself into receiving the information without sort of sit and like officially channeling or whatever. So I definitely recommend that to anybody who wants to like connect more deeply with Sarah, but isn't quite sure. Ask her to presence herself with you. And you literally go for a walk together, and then notice what comes up in your thoughts and what happens. Like, you're super aware of like everything on a very kind of spiritual and relaxed level. But this thing about weaving, it just kept coming up. It just kept coming up. Like, and partly it's because when we work with her healing system that I brought through and she talked to me, I don't remember how long ago it is now, sort of lose track of time, maybe 3 or 4 years or something. And it was energies I've been working with for a long time, but I hadn't put them together into sort of like a sort of a proper like structure. First of all, we go up to like this beautiful higher dimension, to where our higher self is, and we do that with the help of Sarah's angels. And we gather all this beautiful, like divine white energy for that person. And then we come down and we clear with Sarah's lilac violet flame. And that clears like all the stuff that is going to come in between that person and their higher self energy code matrices, like coming together. And then the magic, the real magic is then when Sarah's green emerald energy, and it's like an energy of nature, of life force, of the trees growing in the spring, and kind of what we've sort of reached the pinnacle of and what we're celebrating at the solstice, actually. But that energy weaves all of that like higher dimensional magic into the person so that they can have it on the physical plane, because without that green weaving energy, you can't ground anything. It's not enough to go up and get the good stuff. It's not enough just to bring the violet flame out. You need that third step. And surprisingly, and I'm not sure why this is, but most of us miss that last step out.
Well, you certainly didn't in this book.
And I'm going to do a little meditation with that for us today. Ooh. Yeah.
So when you're channeling her, Does it just like come when you're not expecting, or do you, you know, probably a mixture of all kinds of different things, or, you know, how is that for you, that whole experience of channeling her?
Yeah, I mean, when I sit down and channel, that's a deliberate process. But that's not to say that spirit can't just turn up at unexpected times. You know, I can sense presences around me. I get sort of strange, like, feelings where I get very physical feelings around here on my head, or I just, you know somebody's there. That can happen at any time. But sitting down and channeling, I'm very... It needs to be a conscious decision for me. I like to keep myself really, really grounded. I have a very strong mental energy. You know, I like writing. I like words. I like to organize things. And I sit down and I open up to spirit. And in that act of opening up to spirit, my energy body becomes, open in a way so that the energy can just come in. But I don't walk around in that state all the time, because I just be way too open to energy. And it's really important to me that the two states, that I can differentiate between the two states. I need to feel like I have control over this, because I'm very channeling. It's not quite the same as doing mediumship. I did do a little bit of mediumship training, and it wasn't really for me, because I think partly because I'm supposed to work with ascended masters and angels and stuff like that, but also because there is kind of no in between for me. I mean, like when I'm tuning into Sarah and I'll ask her something, I do sort of get a bit of an answer, and I'm not channeling, but I'm either sort of open or shut. And when I'm open, that energy is like literally coming down into me. And that's why I didn't like mediumship, because I'm not prepared for, like, no offense to anybody. I mean, we all have relatives that are dead, but I'm not prepared for dead Uncle Fred to come down into energy body. It's too invasive. But Sarah, yes. Angels, yes. You know, these goddesses that I channel, Sophia and Venus, Aphrodite, or whoever, they're beautiful energies. It's like, oh yes, you know, thank you very much, but only for 10 minutes or only for 20 minutes. And it uses up a huge amount of my electromagnetic energy. Also, because when I'm channeling, I project out, I send out a lot of electromagnetic energy to other people as well. I'm a real, like, energy generator.
Just sitting there, battery, aren't you? Just sort of glowing.
Yeah, and it does take up a lot of energy. It does. I have to, you know, I can't do it more than once a day. I have to make sure I don't, you know, and I have to have rest at the weekend and time off and things like that, because it would be so easy to burn out.
Sorry. I tell you what was extraordinary as well was when you did that bit on Archangel Michael and, you know, Mary Magdalene, and like the different, when you were doing those, it was really noticeable the difference of the energy. So, you know, that felt very, very real, you know. And I've read about other goddesses or, you know, ascended masters or angels or things like that. So I've done, you know, obviously read a few other books on this kind of thing. I just really, really felt the difference and really felt Michael in a way that I hadn't really felt Michael before when I'd read Michael in other books. It was just like kind of quite a strange experience. And because the whole book is sort of Sarah new, that's why I keep thinking of you as Sarah, you know, kind of thing. It was fantastic to read Archangel Michael. That was very clearly different, you know. So that as an experience was a very important thing to recognize now the different flavors of those, you know, vibes of those energies, because now I really do know which ones are which and feel them around. And that was a very palpable experience in the book of the way these energies are working and how I think she augments Michael, you know, like you were saying, with all the ones that whenever she's with another one, she just brings out the best in them. She's this incredible kind of backdrop, this, I don't know what you'd call it. She just augments whoever she's around. And heightens them, and they're just like they flourish. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. But that, I mean, that's how I knew that I could channel, So I when my mum passed in 1996, and she'd been seen a healer before she died, and he told her, because I went and met him, I was like completely non-spiritual person. Just finishing my training as a mental health nurse, and I was quite worried about this guy called Colin, because my mum had terminal cancer, and I was quite worried about what was going on. She was seeing this healer because she wasn't that sort of a person, and so I travelled like 100 miles from London down to the Kent coast where my family lives, and to meet him, and he was fine, and I was like, oh. Okay, you know, it's not what I expected. He was just a very ordinary guy, but he told my mum that I was a healer, and she wanted me to read this healing book she gave me, and I was like, and it stayed under my bed for a few months and gathered dust, and then I gave it back to her, and she was like, her face, because like I would read everything she gave me. She would give me Susan Jeffers and Louise Hay, and you know, I come from a family with just unbelievable amount of trauma and ancestral trauma. It's just been so much, and she wanted me to like not be like her and heal, and anyway, I didn't read this book, I gave it back to her, and then after she passed, that was when everything started opening up for me, because I couldn't deny that I could feel my mother's presence and she was there, and I knew it. It's just like she was there, except for there was no body because she'd passed. And I did the Tibetan rites for her from the Tibetan Book of the Dead. And I could feel it all happening and all working. And then I would get this voice like going, learn to heal. Like I got nagged for about 2 years. And I was busy working as a nurse and then as a clinical charge nurse. And I was like, oh, God, all right. And I went and got some Reiki attunements. And that just like started everything, just like really catalyzed everything. And then a few years after that, then I started getting learn to channel. And I was like, it took me a few years to find. So I tried some different things. I tried the mediumship circle. It didn't work for me. And then someone I knew who'd like, I think I'd trained as a priestess by then of the goddess, and a lovely woman called Diana Summer. She did a circle to train people how to channel, working with ascended masters and, you know, divine beings and so on. And so we would sit in a circle and then we would take turns. We would all take turns. So she would teach us things and we would take turns like practicing. And yeah, I just remember like, I can't remember sort of specific moments, but sort of generally people would just be like that. When I channeled something, it'd be like, oh my God, your whole face changed. Like you looked completely different. And yeah. Just like the feedback I got from people, like the teacher herself, like, you know, she was like, wow, you're really good at this. And I was like, because I hadn't expected to be anything special. I mean, it was something I felt I had to do because I kept like, learn to channel. But it was really not how I saw myself. But I also remember afterwards, after doing this channeling, having a tea break, like I would go to the bathroom and like wash my hands. And I remember looking in the mirror and just seeing I'd gone a bit paler and seeing that it had actually taken quite a lot of energy out of me to do that. And I was like, because I'm, you know, deep down, I'm quite a cynical person. And I was like, God, something's really happening here. I'm not just imagining this. And other people are telling me I look different and they're feeling all these energies coming through. And, you know, sort of gradually I realized that this is something I've done in past lives, and I have the energy signature of being able to channel, because I never really learned how to do it. I just went to a set and I could just do it. I mean, it was just really so natural for me.
And how was it when you first got Sarah come through? I think you're in Hawaii, weren't you, doing a circle, and it's like totally unexpected in a cave, you know, doing like in this whole like doing this whole thing, and then something else like.
I went to the Big Island in 2005. I really, really love dolphins, and I wanted to go and swim with dolphins.
Mad about dolphins.
It was incredible, and it was really hard to come home, actually. It really broke my heart, and I was really cross with the universe that it was like, because Hawaii is not an easy place to get to from the UK, and not from Denmark, and it's such a long way away. But you know, I've had quite a lot of past life memories there, so I kind of feel like I've had my time there. But so it was the first time I'd been to Hawaii, and it was just, another huge opening for me. I have a really, really deep connection to Pele, the goddess of the volcano. And I'd come back from Hawaii, and my eldest son, who's 20 now, he was about 3 at the time, bless him. And I was teaching. So I would go and teach. I did a 6-week course in working with the energies that I had sort of discovered in Hawaii, land energies, special places. So already the earth work was coming in, which again, it wasn't anything anybody taught me. And I've never found any books that sort of describe the things that I do anyway. And a lot of healers, I think it's the same for a lot of healers, you know, you get called to go out and work on the land and stuff happens. You sort of get your guides tell you what to do and you do it. And I was teaching, it was the last class of this 6-week series. And we were working with a beautiful place of sanctuary. It's called a place of sanctuary. And it's where people used to go. There were all these, so the Hawaiians originally came from Polynesia. And especially the second wave of Polynesians that came up, there was a lot of rules. It was very, very patriarchal. You can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. And that's where the word taboo comes from. In Hawaiian, I think it's kapu, K-A-P-U. And if you break these taboos, it was so serious that, I don't know if it was like this with all of them, but definitely some of them, you could be killed unless you got yourself to one of these places of sanctuary on the island. And so I went to this particular place of sanctuary, which I think is called, if I remember it right, Pu'uhonua Ohonaunau. And it was this like, because on the Big Island, the beaches are black because of the volcanic rock is black. And there was all this like black volcanic rock, and we were sitting on, and we were doing this incredible ceremony. The person who, you know, had, was organizing this retreat that I was on, and there was turtles, you know, just by the water's edge listening, and this in beautiful like sort of in the air, it was like this gateway like to the pure divine feminine heart opened up. It was just absolutely incredible. So I'm there teaching this class, connecting people to this energy gateway. And we've been working with that, which is just pure love, this gateway. And then at the end of it, I opened up to do a channeling, which I'd done every week. And I'd channel Pele and the Hawaiian goddess of the sea and, you know, different goddesses every week. And then so I opened up to channel, and the words, "I'm Sarah, daughter of the Magdalene," came through. And I was like, what? I mean, I didn't know her. I'd seen her mentioned in a couple of channelings by another channel, but it wasn't any, I mean, there was just no interest for me there, really, to be honest.
Also, it was really random and wasn't connected with anything you were doing there.
Well, interestingly enough, it was. So she brought through a channeling saying, "Love is the key." And at the heart of Sarah and Mary Magdalene, of course, you know, because they're a lineage, it is all about love. Mm. that is at the center of everything. And Sophia is the Sophia Shekinah energy, and they are both like priestesses of that energy in different ways, in their own ways. But yeah, it was a shock. It was a shock. And then she never left. She just stayed.
Wow, what an experience. And thank you so much for holding on, because it was pretty, well, I think you've made it so sort of, it's, she just feels so almost mainstream now. But, you know, it was really quite scary times at the time to bring out, you know, be that.
Yeah.
Sort of about that sort of stuff, as you said, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm so glad you stuck with it.
Yeah, it was. I mean, like when I was initiated as a priestess, I was pregnant with my first son. So that's like 21, 22 years ago now. And at the at the time, that was really radical. I mean, we didn't have the internet like we have now. And the person who taught me was Diana Summer, and she'd learned it from doing a distance learning course with Kathy Jones, who has been, you know, a leading figure in setting up the Goddess Temple down in Glastonbury. And, you know, how things now compared to then, with all the goddess stuff and all the Magdalene stuff, it's just like, it's two completely different worlds. And back then when I started, there was no glitz and glamour to being a priestess. There was nobody with shining pictures and people looking beautiful. And it was all about, you know, you were called to it, and it was the energies. And, you know, and I think in a way we've lost something, because it's not about how beautiful things look. And of course we like things to look beautiful and shiny and all the rest of it. But I think there's a lot of focus now on things looking the right way. And I mean, if you're a person that makes beautiful things, I mean, I'm not knocking it at all. You know, that's your gift. But we do live in a world that is a lot about superficiality and things looking, you know.
It's about staging, isn't it?
Yeah. And there's a lot
of... You see people's setups, and it's all like sort of like a staged sort of setting in a way. I know what you mean. But as you're talking, it, you know, and I think this is why the book is such a rich experience, because I think what I'm interpreting what you're saying is that the whole goddess thing, this whole thing is such an inner experience.
Yeah.
Such inner presence. And, you know, for me, it's like kind of, I really feel my way with like people, whatever they're doing, however it's staged, is I feel my way into like kind of how these people are with this energy. And if it doesn't feel right for me, and then it's not, I don't go down that road that those people are going on. Do you see what I mean? And I hear what you're saying is,
yeah,
it's become like a round word in a way. But that inner knowing is such a wisdom and such a truth. That's where this is very, because we haven't been taught like that, you know. Religion and cultures and everything is all outward, and then you take it in, whereas this is starting from inside, isn't it? And that's a huge point of difference.
Yeah. And
that's where this book is absolutely extraordinary. And again, as it's like kind of interacting with you, and you see it's an interactive experience in terms of everything you're doing outside and within and around is all working with it. Just almost comedy. It's just so clever.
Yeah. And that's it.
And all the stuff about the Hrit Padma as well is fascinating. That Hrit Padma center is so much in this book. I mean, it's literally so incredible.
Yeah. I mean, so what Nikki's talking about there, it's our divine spark, and that is a huge part of my work that actually hasn't still come to light yet, but I know it's there, and there's so like another work, another book in it, and another, you know, course. And but I, you know, these things, so all these things are like sitting in me and have been for years, and then they sort of come out but one at a time, you know, when they're ready and when the vibrations, because like, I mean, like everybody says it, things are shifting really fast, and they are, you know, the world is shifting really, really fast. And I mean, the inner work is the most important thing. Like you were saying, the inner work is the most important thing. And like
this really is where we learning really how Sarah.
To, yeah, for, that's it. Cause if you bring her
in,
yeah, if you bring her in, just say, Sarah, please be with me. You can suddenly feel it all and your own emotions, the whole thing, much, much more. And then you know what's right for you. And like, because I like beautiful things. I have a lot of Libra in my chart, astrology chart, and Libra's, you know, love things to be beautiful and harmonious and all the rest of it. But the real thing that tells us is our heart, our gut instincts. Yeah, that tells us what we need, not how many followers somebody has, or you know, how popular something is, or even how much somebody's charging, you know.
But that for me is where Sarah really is, this sort of linchpin of the past and the future, because she's got all the hits, she's got all the roots, she's got absolutely every single thing you've ever read about any goddess, any kind of connection. She brings it all in, and then she holds the future, because it really feels that there's such a craving, and it's such a, you know, everyone's very, as you say, move forward and like kind of change once you're on it, but she like kind of holds it and allows it to be your own journey. And that is where all the others haven't, perhaps for me, haven't held it quite like she's holding it for us all right now. And that's where this is so, so, so seismically important, to understand how much she's holding us right now to go forward, how we can and will and should, and how it's going to be for us each individually. And that's a whole new possibility, which has never really been, it's always been very prescribed and like how it needs to be. And that, again, you can get very caught up in the visuals of that, because that's how it's sort of, because that's such a social media and everything is so kind of vapid, you know, this, it's just so everywhere, that you need time to assimilate your own connection, you know, before it gets carried, runs away with itself, you know, and it becomes someone else's way of interpreting it. You know, you have some time to work with it for yourself quietly and see where it could be. It'll be a whole smorgasbord of everything you've seen for you.
I love the way you put that, Nikki. I'm going to go back to the recording and like write down what you wrote there about like the way that she kind of orchestrates our journey. But it's our journey, it's not her journey,
so dynamic.
But she helps like bring it out. And I think over the next 20 years, I think Sarah is just, there's just going to be an explosion of people working with her, and I can feel it starting already. And there'll just be so many people out there like teaching and working and bringing stuff through, you know. I will just, like, if I'm still working, then I will just be one amongst thousands, but maybe people will talk about me as the great great grandmother of it or something. I don't know.
Oh,
I
mean, the one with the blue hair.
Well, that's it. But yeah, it's only quite recent that I've had blue hair. But yeah, maybe I'll be remembered. That's one that I'll have to keep dyeing it forever now, won't I? I was thinking, like, because like we were having a chat about hair, like women do, before the call starts, and I was saying, I do find it a bit challenging to sit that amount of time in the hairdressers, and also my hair grows really, really fast. And someone said, why don't you do it at home? And I was like, no way. There's just no. I just like, and it's permanent dye. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I really hate housework.
Like a mess.
And the thought of, but if I had bits of blue dye everywhere, that would really, really like wind me up. But yeah, I was thinking maybe I'll get a blue wig. And then when I go to do like my stuff, I could just put my blue wig on. But for the first time, I'm planning on doing a retreat, like an actual live living person. Because like when I lived in the UK, I had a place to go and teach and do workshops with Sarah. And since I've come to Denmark, that just hasn't been possible. So all my work is online now, and I really, really miss being able to like meet people, like actual live human beingness. And also like the channeling and everything, it's that much more potent when you're there and like the chanting that I do when you're there personally. So I'm really excited about that. And that's only been possible because like we have a son, Benji, who's 10 now, and he has like severe ADHD and autism. And it hasn't been possible for me to travel and leave them basically. Cause like, so me and my husband, we're carers as well as doing our jobs. And he's getting to the point now where I can see, yeah, they'll be all right. And also we get some respite care. I'm quite excited. I'm going to be like let out.
Is this the trip to Glastonbury?
Yeah.
Ooh, tell us more.
Well, at the moment, yeah, I've put up a post in Sarah's Sacred Circle Facebook group. I've put up a post with a mailing list saying, if you think this is something you're going to be interested in, sign up here and I'll get back to you with more details. And the dates, can't remember exactly, it's April 17th or 18th, something like that, 2024. But Sarah, her presence is so strong in Glastonbury, and there's lots of reasons there, too many for me to go into here, but yeah, she's in the energy grid in Avalon, basically, and
I went to Glastonbury in May, and the last time I went was about 18 months ago, and I had really quite a freaky experience, as you can have in Glastonbury, on 8/8, and I hadn't been working with Sarah at all, and I had this book with me, and I really asked for it to be a really nice time because I had quite a bit of trauma, really. And she really stepped in. It was the most incredible experience, and beautiful weather. It was just a beautiful, lovely, it was just like the verdant spring that you talked about, that freshness of energy. I felt completely refreshed. It was like a retreat. I was only there for a couple of days, and 100% think that would be a wonderful thing for you to do that with a group. It would be very powerful as well.
That's so interesting. I mean, a lot of other people have said it to me as well, that they've have experienced her so like personally when they're in Glastonbury. It's like she's there, and it's because she is like etherically, she can just like, she's coming through the veil so strong, but she's lived there and she's been a priestess of Avalon. Definitely, for sure. And I know this now because a few weeks ago, so I'm teaching a class called Lineage of the Blue Rose, which is another thing that connects to Sarah, but it's a sort of a sideline. And I channeled Morgan Le Fay, and Morgan Le Fay was a lady of Avalon, a priestess of Avalon. And her energy was so similar to Sarah, but it's not Sarah. And what I realized is because Sarah has a very strong magical energy, very nature orientated, herbalist, shamanic, you know, all of these sort of very magical qualities we have as human beings. And she's been trained as a priest. So they've all had the same training. They've all been initiated into this energy. And, you know, a lot of them, and, you know, a lot of us, we were priestesses of Avalon as well. We also hold this like signature. Once you've been initiated into something very powerfully, you hold that energy signature in your future lives. And Sarah has that energy signature of a priestess of Avalon. And I only realized that a few weeks ago when I channeled Morgan Le Fay, and there was this similarity, and I was like, oh, now wow. I get it. So interesting.
Yeah. It's just never ending, isn't it? It's just how everything like unfolds and unravels, but is all woven together as well at the same time. Fascinating.
Is there anybody who wants to ask anything? Is there anything there, Sam? Has anybody, have you got any questions? Even
there was a comment from Nikki when you were talking about Hawaii, and she says, interesting that Rachel goes for a physical walk with Sarah to commune. I also find myself walking with Sarah, but more often than not it's during an intentional quiet meditation and connection. I guess this started this way when Rachel first took me and a group to Sarah's ashram above Hawaii. So I guess that was in meditation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because that's one of the free gifts I've got on my website, if you go to rachelgoodwin.dk to the Sarah page, it's somewhere on there. You can sign up to get it as a free gift, and it's lovely. It's really lovely. Yeah.
I'd like to add something.
Mm.
I mean, I obviously came to you through experiences I was having, and then I found Sarah, and then I found you and signed up for the Blue Rose, and it's amazing. I highly recommend that course to anybody. It's just sort of exponentially burst my heart open, and it's grounded me, and there's this sense of community and sort of nowness, and it's just incredible. But I was lucky enough to have a session with Rachel recently with Sarah. And I'm very sensitive, like really sensitive. I've been having some stuff going on, been very wound up for quite a long time. And literally, I woke up the next morning a completely different person. All this anxiety had gone, all the stress had dialed down. I couldn't believe the shift in my energy of having this. It's just an hour or so. But just having that energy coming in and soothing. And she's so kind. She could have been really blunt with me, like a stern mother, but she wasn't. She was like a loving sister. And the guidance I was given, it was just so calm and loving and doable and soothing and, oh, amazing. Absolutely amazing. I did start to read. I've got both books. I've dipped in and out of them, felt very activated with them late at night. So I need to read these during the day, not at bedtime. And yeah, incredible. So me personally, I'm going to finish the Blue Rose initiation, which is amazing, and then focus more on Sarah. But like, I've decided I am going to be in Glastonbury next Easter. I'm there. My body's there already. I'm there by hook or by crook. I will be there. And that doesn't happen very often. Oh, it's same with the Blue Rose course. There was just this thing. It's like this. I'm doing this. Nikki said something similar earlier. It was just like this. This was it, you, Rachel? It's just this thing of I'm doing this. No questions asked. So yeah, really, really grateful. She's great. She kind of reminds me of Tank Girl. And I know that's the wrong way of looking at it, but Tank Girl's this really cool cartoon character from Jamie Hewlett that came out in the 90s, like really girl power. And yeah, it's just beautiful.
We're all going to go away and look Tank Girl up now. I remember so cool. I had a friend called Jo who was Scottish who came over to Denmark. She left again. A lot of people do, foreigners. Denmark is it's a very difficult place to live if you're a foreigner. But she really liked Tank Girl. Oh, that's so funny. But I really get what you're saying about like you just know, and that's how it's always been like that with me, with Sarah. I mean, I knew I had a choice to work with her or not, but actually there was no choice. I just had to. I just like, and not because of who she was or whatever, it was because I experienced her as an energy. I just loved her, you know? And if you love somebody, you know, what can you do? You can't Absolutely. Control how you feel, can you? So I just, and that's it. People get called to her. They know it.
And that's the other difference. It is a circle. There's no pecking order. There's no, I'm in charge, I'm the guru, do as I say. It's not like that. It's we're together, we are equal. Somebody gets this sort of information, somebody else, it happens to be Rachel, but she's the most unleaderish teacher I've ever met. And I'm so grateful for it because my ego doesn't like being told what to do.
Me neither. I can't stand people. I can't stand. I joined the intelligence service in the RAF when I was 21.
I still don't get that.
And Oh, well, that's it. I only stayed 6 months because I couldn't stand people telling me what to do, but also because I realised it really wasn't for me, and that, you know, it was a lot about political games. And I was just like, I'm not spying on people just because, you know, the government is trying to get more power through oil. And so I had to leave. And when I left, my mother went, well, I knew you wouldn't like it, but I couldn't tell you because you just won't be told, will you? But I think that's an important quality that a lot of us have, because otherwise we would be far too compliant in society. And we're the rule breakers, you know. We're bringing in something different. We can't be doing the same as everybody else, because is that working? Is it, you know? No. We are here to bring in a new thing. But thank you for sharing.
I love that as well, because it's like just shows like she's such a, as you were talking there, Sam, there was like such a softness to start with. And then you like really got like a bit of an edge in there as well. And it's that spectrum in Sarah is really, really fascinating, you know. And also I got the impression that when you were first talking at the beginning about like kind of all the healing and everything that you received, like before Sarah, you wouldn't even really been able to speak about that, or it was so buried and so, you know, taught. Whereas, you know, now it's like a flow, and she's with you all the time. I mean, she's just in you, you know, you just and you're working it and working through. And I love the way I've just been rereading a bit again, when you get capital letters and lots of exclamation marks, like, get out there and do it, that feisty like female, that maiden energy that's in all of us, you know, still, you know. And it is the rule breakers, and it's absolutely, I mean, you know, I was constantly being called Nicola, you know. Listen, I changed my name at like 14. Nikki, my name is Nikki, you do not call me that, you know. And I look back on myself now and I realize I've been very feisty for a very long time. Trying to tell you what to do, it does not work. And that's, but she's got a very strong energy. She doesn't tell us what to do, but it's just in us and we know what to do. Do you know what I mean?
She has. And there's all these different aspects to her and all these different sides to her. And like when you're going like into Sarah Larkali energy, which is her aspects of like, like the Black Madonna energy. And she's, you know, there's this incredible place in Sainte Marie de la Mer out in the... Armagh in France. She's the, Sarah Larkali is the patron saint of the Romani people. It's this incredibly soft, gentle energy, just so loving, really powerful, but just so loving. And people get drawn into different sides of her depending on what we need, like the rebels and the rule breakers, you know, we're getting into that aspect. And then, but somebody else is coming in much more from that Black Madonna side, and they're experiencing a very different energy totally. And then there's this whole new earth thing going on over here. It's like, she is like, and sometimes I think, God, you know, is it really possible for like one ascended master to hold all these energies? But she does seem to, and that is kind of the point, because like, she's the energy of oneness and integration, because she has brought together the divine masculine and the feminine and into herself, and it's become one. She's our next step in our consciousness. We're coming into oneness, but we could talk about her forever. But I wanted to finish today with a little meditation, and I'll let Sarah take over, and she'll give us some, I think she's going to give us a blessing today. So before I do that, Nikki, was there anything you wanted to sort of say before I get into that?
Thank you so much. What a pleasure, what a privilege, what an honor. And it's been an absolute, like, amazing to share and be, and just feels like it's just such a home. Just home, just feels like completely natural and so welcoming. I think that's how she is. And I just would love everyone in the whole world to know about this amazingness, that you can be who you are and grow yourself in any way. And, you know, it's all weaving all the way around. It's just been an incredible experience. Truly. Aww. Thank you.
Rach, can I just add, Lorraine Rose has put in the chat, She's had a really bad headache for 3 days. Would it be possible to add a little energy healing in with the meditation, please?
Well, it's all up to Sarah, I have to say.
So we'll passed on the message.
Thank
Lauren,
you. Though. We'll see what happens, Lorraine. But you're going to bring through a blessing. So hopefully that will be nice and healing as well. And I just wanted to say, so there are people out there who are trained as Sarah healers. I do very occasionally do one-to-one sessions, but honestly, I don't have very much time. And there are people out there who you can find on my website who offer Sarah healing, and they're beautiful healers. And there's also three Sarah teachers, Louise, Suzanne, and Bessamy, who are trained to give you the initiations for the Sarah healing, so you can learn that system yourself. Saying that, I am thinking more and more, and it's sort of starting to crystallize in my mind that, so in Denmark, we're breaking up for the school holidays now. So I'm being mum for the school holidays, and then I'll be back to work in the middle of August. And I'm thinking about holding a like monthly Sarah healing coaching group, so it's more affordable for people as well, because it is quite expensive to book one-to-one sessions. Although if you put one with the Sarah healers, I think they do very good rate, basically. So enough of all that. Let's come into beautiful energy together, sacred space, and take some nice deep breaths. Just imagine that we're coming into Sarah's sacred circle. So just imagine a circle around you of energy. And we're all in this beautiful energy space together. And it can be somewhere beautiful in nature where you like being. It's the solstice today. We have the magical solstice energies. Or it can be a cave or a crystal temple or a beach or just anywhere you love being. Or you can just simply imagine a beautiful energy. And Sarah's energy is coming right into the center of our circle. Sarah's energy is coming right into the center of our circle. It's like a pillar of green light coming in, emerald green light. And this energy, it's the energy of life itself. It's what makes the trees grow. It's what happens when we're brought into creation. It's this life force, this life spark. It's also very healing energy, and it's also the energy that we manifest through. And so Sarah, she's grounding our circle. She's at the center of the circle. She's grounding us. And just feel your roots going down deep, deep into Mother Earth. Consciously send roots out through your feet, down into the new earth grid, and then down right to the crystalline heart of the ascended Gaia. Just beautiful energies. Ground in yourself, deep into the heart of Mother Earth. And then Sarah's also expanding us upwards. And in the same way you have roots going out from the top of your head, up higher and higher and higher and higher, right up to the higher dimensions, going just as high as you need to go today. These beautiful lines of light stretching up from the top of your head all the way up, all the way up, all the way up. And held between these energies, anchored between earth and sky, you are held and supported. And I'm just going to bring in Sarah now and let her do the blessing. So I'll go quiet for a few moments, and then when I'm channeling, it will be Sarah who's speaking, and she can do the blessing in whatever way she wants to. Welcome, welcome. I'm Sarah. Thank you for being here today, for listening to me across time and space, so that we can share this beautiful energy together, this energy of oneness that has this magical quality of creating connection and community. Such a beautiful gift that mankind is coming into now, becoming ready to receive, so that more of you can share sacred space together in the energy of oneness. Such beautiful magic to be connected in community in this way, whether it's together physically or together through online work, you can share this energy of oneness. And maybe you can feel it now. Maybe you can feel you're connected in some way to each other as you are gathered here to share the ideas and the concepts. Receive what you need to receive. And many of the blessings that I give are for the heart. The heart is at the center of your energy body. And it really is the heart that mankind, humankind, all men and women need to work with now. This is the evolutionary point in your history, our history, that is happening right now. Place your hands over your heart center if it's comfortable. Or simply take your awareness to your heart center with your thoughts, with your mind. And just breathe in and out of your heart center. Breathing in light. Breathing in love. And then you can imagine that I'm placing a beautiful green heart, quite large, over that whole space. So it's covering your higher heart, your heart chakra, and going right down the point so that it's midway in your solar plexus. That whole area is being blessed now by this beautiful green heart that I am giving to you right now. And just feel yourself breathing in this beautiful green emerald light, this green emerald love. And as you do, you can feel yourself with each breath coming more and more into balance. With each breath coming more and more centered. You are held, you are supported by heaven and earth. Just breathe in this beautiful divine emerald energy, centering, balancing, and grounding. And you might feel all sorts of tensions, places in your body that are holding on to stress, just drifting away now, just disappearing, as all is well. All is well. All is well. And your heart is soaking up this green emerald light and pulsating it around through the blood to your whole body, sending it to every organ, every cell, your bones, your muscles. Your heart is beating the tune of the emerald green love, this archetypal energy that I hold of healing, manifestation, life itself in its highest expression. Your heart is playing this tune, sending it out to your arms and your legs, your skin and your hair, blessing all of your physical being, which is in truth a profound expression of your soul. And your soul is a profound expression of your higher self, that part of you which is pure divine. Just breathe in the last few deep, gorgeous breaths of this energy, knowing that this is here for you. Whenever you have need, you can repeat this exercise as many times as you need to. And this is my blessing for you on this day. My love is with you, and I thank you so deeply for being here, for coming, answering the call, and receiving my light, my love that is so needed on the earth right now. And in so doing, and without any conscious effort, you are anchoring my energy, this archetypal force of the divine that I represent, into the new earth grid. You are radiating it just by being yourself, and all is well. All is well. All is well. Blessed be. Amen. Ah, so I've ended us, Sarah's ended us on a nice calm note there. Thank you all for coming. And I know a lot of you will be watching this on the replay, and those of you who are listening in the future, present time, lots of blessings, everybody. Thank you so much. Bye for now. You're so welcome. Bye, everybody. Bye. Bye bye.